Good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to convene the March 16, 2017 meeting of the Subcommittee on Natural Resources of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. And once again, we will be continuing our hearing on House Bill. I will open a public hearing on House Bill 5009. And do we have anything further on the from the department? I think we're done there.
No, yeah. We're done. No, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, this is the third and final day. We have public testimony scheduled for today. There is some written public testimony that's posted on OLIS under today's date.
All right, thank you very much. I'm call up for, and I'm going to, we're going to take public testimony. I'd like to call up, please, Angela Crowley-Cook and Tom Wolfe. I guess I should have looked before I started calling names. Thank you for both being here.
Where else are we going to be?
Oh, thanks, Tom. That means so much. Good afternoon.
I'll go for it. Co-Chair Frederick, Co-Chair Witt, committee members. For the record, my name is Tom Wolfe. I'm with Trout Unlimited, and I don't think we have to go through all the numbers of how many members I have in the state ever again, so we're good on that. Just real quickly, and I'm here, and I know that there's not really any general fund money that goes into the Department of Energy, but one of the things I really came here to support was their energy facility siting program, which is very important. One of the things that Trout Unlimited, as we've become a big group and we developed a sportsman part of our organization, and we get involved with issues that aren't just about fish, they're also about wildlife, also a particular sage grouse and other species in the West. And we produced a couple of years ago something that I sent to you that's on OLIS that you should have attached electronically, called the Broad Scale Assessment of Renewable Energy Potential and the Human Footprint, which is talks a lot in there about the human footprint and the impact that we have. And it refers specifically, and if I could read from this just a little bit, it says that development of renewable resources should be a deliberate process that seeks to minimize its impacts on natural land, water, fish, and wildlife resources. Even the most seemingly benign energy resources, such as solar, can have an adverse effect on the environment, including habitat degradation, fragmentation from construction of roads and facilities, water consumption, and loss of virtually all vegetation beneath the panels. We've seen this with wind turbines. We've seen this sometimes with solar energy. Is where you place them can have a negative. I mean, it seems like a great idea to have green energy like this, but when you place them in the wrong place, both with where it's at and with building the roads to them, you can impact streams, you can impact the migration patterns, and sometimes in wind turbines, some species of birds fly unintentionally into the path of the wind turbines. So there has to be a place as we're developing green energy, and of course Trout Unlimited supports green energy, of where we build these at. And so I'm very supportive of the Oregon Department of Energy and the way that they're looking at this, and package 140, which would add a staff person to work on site placement. I think that's a great use of money, and I support completely where they're going with this, and I applaud them for their effort to look at this, because it's very important as we develop this all across the West. This green energy stuff is, where do we put it, the impact it has on native fish and wildlife, and what we can do to make that impact lessen. So thank you so much for a chance to testify, and you have my written comments. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Tom. Angela, welcome.
Thank you, Co-Chair Witt, Co-Chair Frederick, members of the committee. My name is Angela Crowley-Cook. I'm the Legislative Director at Oregon Environmental Council, and I'm presenting testimony on behalf of OEC and Climate Solutions, which is hopefully there for you on OLIS. Both of our organizations look to the Department of Energy to provide technical expertise, data, and leadership. And especially right now, after the passage of Senate Bill 1547, last session, moving Oregon into a new clean energy future, we will rely even more on ODO to play an important role in that successful implementation. Looking forward, as we know Oregon needs to take additional steps to reach our greenhouse gas reduction goals, and ODO should play a big role in that effort. Moving ahead, we respect the staff at ODO. They're talented and committed. I think we feel with the right leadership and resources that ODO can really help Oregon move to our clean energy future. So some specific comments on the budget. While we understand the current budget situation, we are concerned by the proposed loss of some of the positions that we heard about yesterday, including the potential elimination of the residential energy tax credit program and the staff that go along with that program. It's been a very successful program, and we would like to retain that going forward. We're also concerned about the potential loss of positions under energy planning and innovation, which is especially concerning if ODO does expand its mission and work on climate change as we hope to see it do. We support maintaining and increasing the Energy Suppliers Assessment, the ESA. We also support Package 140, the Energy Siting Fiscal Support, Package 150, the Governor's Energy Policy Advisor, and Package 120, the Renewable Energy Development Grant Program. And I already mentioned we're concerned about losing Package 90 and 110. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. As soon as I catch up writing here, I'm going to ask for questions. All right. Questions for this panel? So I know you both mentioned support for Package 140. And, Tom, you mentioned specifically birds and the potential that wind generation has on bird populations potentially. And I know you're probably not necessarily, or you may be, and I don't know about it, I'm an avian specialist, but I am assuming that we could fairly easily discern the flight patterns of birds in terms of trying to locate things?
Co-chair Frederick, co-chair Witt, you're right. I'm a fish biologist, not an avian specialist. But if you get a chance, hopefully you can read this paper that I attached. But I think you can. I think part of the problem is that what this paper calls for and what Trout Unlimited calls for is that we just be very careful and observant about exactly where we're going to do it. And I think that if you bring in the right experts and you work with the fish and wildlife agencies in the placement, you can avoid that sort of problem. I think this is such a new field that we've had problems in the past, but I think that can be avoided by how we carefully place energy site facilities.
Thank you. And Co-Chair Frederick, followed by Senator Taylor.
In fact, that's exactly what's happened. We had some initial issues with a couple of the early wind farms. They have found a way to avoid that. They've not had the same kind of issues with the most recent ones that they've put up. And both looking at the path as well as the turbines themselves, because there was a concern about the sounds that were being created and whether that was an issue or not. So they've already worked on those kinds of issues, and we no longer really have that as a problem. But initially, there were some significant problems, especially in some of the wind farms in California that were on pathways and had certain sounds and were not spaced in a way that was a problem. So they've already done a lot of work on just that.
And I certainly haven't studied anything about the placement of wind turbines and that sort of thing, but it had the appearance, at least to me, that when we initially started, we just put them where the wind blew, right? I mean, the main concern is the wind blows here, and that's a good place to put them up. We weren't we weren't looking at other considerations potentially.
It was the way the wind blew, but it was also how they were spaced. And again, I think there was something regarding the sound, the propellers making
pitch.
A particular pitch, and a couple of other things that would bring birds in that particular direction.
Very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Co-Chair Frederick and Co-Chair Witt, this has absolutely nothing to do with that, but yesterday you were talking about the Hanford Reach. I just want to mention that in the mainstem Columbia, the best fish habitat on the Columbia is in the Hanford Reach. So I always find that ironic when we're talking about nuclear power that somehow, you know, the fish have found a way to it supports the best run of fall Chinook on the Columbia and 40 species of fish. So just for a little aside.
Yes. They glow in the dark.
Well, that's why you can catch them. No, it has also, that's not where, the dams are at a distance from there too, which has a huge impact on that. So yeah, you get quite a bit.
Senator Taylor.
Thank you, Chair Witt. I just wanted to follow up on what Senator Frederick said, and thank you for everything that you mentioned. I think it is really important as we move into a new era of energy production that we be mindful of how we talk about that and make certain that we have all the information in front of us. And I'm sure at some other time we'll have some folks coming forward talking about different energy issues. But the I think the important thing about wind is that, yes, lessons were learned several decades ago, and now there's the siting requirements are quite extensive, and especially they need to know the wind patterns, which of course is very technical and is studied, and there are ornithologists that are hired to study the patterns for the wind to make certain that they do not, and wind turbines are not placed in the migratory path of birds in order to avoid that. And so the wind industry, yes, at one point, literally decades ago, had to face that challenge but got around that. And it's very, very important, I would argue, because we need to be moving towards renewable energy going forward in order, due to climate change, that we be mindful that they are changing with the the wind industry has responded very, very well, I would say, as the solar industry has, to the biology and the wildlife needs. So just want to, and there's all sorts of people from Oregon that we could bring forward agency-wise and et cetera to come and testify on that issue to verify that, so you don't have to take my word for it. So anyways, just wanted to clarify that.
Well, thank you very much. That's all very, very, very helpful. Thank you. Additional questions or comments? I'm not seeing any. Thank you both very, very much. It is very important that members of the public come and testify, so thank you for doing so. Next, please, Paige Spence and Lana Butterfield.
Do you want me to wait or go ahead and start?
You can start.
Okay. Good afternoon, Co-Chairs Frederick and Witt and committee members. My name is Paige Spence, and I'm here today testifying on behalf of the Oregon League of Conservation Voters and the Oregon Conservation Network. You have just heard from Oregon Environmental Council, Climate Solutions, and Trout Unlimited, all of which are OCN groups, and we have around 40 members throughout the state. Thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of House Bill 5009, the budget bill for the Oregon Department of Energy. We strongly encourage your support for the approval of House Bill 5009, the OTA's proposed 2017 to 2019 budget. It's crucial that Oregon leads the way to an energy-efficient future. OTA is vital to the future of Oregon's mission to promote renewable energy and develop clean energy resources. As the legislature and the governor's office consider reductions to OTA's budget, we encourage the consideration of OTA's immense value in clean energy and conservation efforts. OTA is really in a unique position to provide technical expertise and resources, data collection, and oversee compliance. And we also support OTA's incentives for renewable energy and energy efficiency to encourage changes to move towards a more energy efficient future. Furthermore, we support the Energy Facility Siting Council and the important work that it does. And with a federal administration that does not appear to cherish the same values that we do around renewable energy, we must work harder than ever at the state level to protect our natural resources for generations to come. So in conclusion, OCN asks that this subcommittee supports House Bill 5009 and approve ODO's proposed 2017-2019 budget. We believe ODO's work is vital to our members and the invaluable services it provides for all Oregonians. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, I'm Lana Butterfield, and I'm here on behalf of the Pacific Propane Gas Association. The PPGA members, some of them, pay the energy supplier assessment fee. And we are not happy about how the office of, or the ODO has been applying this fee, because it's not fair and it's not subscribing to the best way of dealing with our industry. And let me give you a little bit of background. Propane is a very versatile fuel. It's used in for school buses, for forklifts, for barbecues. It's used in rural areas for heating your home. You can cook with it. Many restaurants use propane. Agriculture uses a lot of propane, so it's very versatile. And it's portable, so that especially in rural areas where folks don't have access to natural gas pipelines, propane serves a valuable resource. When the agency started to assess propane, they looked at the statute, and the statute has an exemption for utilities and how utilities are assessed the ESA. And basically, and I don't know I can quote that exactly, but basically only one in their distribution system gets assessed, so that the same unit of energy is not being assessed more than once. However, with propane, they decided to use the phone book and call down to retail dealers, and they said, do you sell to gas stations? And any retail dealer that sold to a gas station got assessed the ESA. Now, they didn't understand the structure of our market. We have retail dealers, some of whom sell to gas stations and some who don't. Then we have regional dealers, regional companies. Then we have national. We have about four or so national companies. And then we have importers, which is where DEQ looks at our industry, and they put the onus for greenhouse gas reporting and so forth. They've chosen the correct level at which to place the regulation. And then we have refineries. So if you tax at the retail fuel level and some of these other levels, then the same gallon of propane is being assessed more than once. They are also assessing the fee on some items that shouldn't be, and you have the list there in the testimony from Randy Camp. So given all of these problems, I have been trying for some years now to fix this issue. I met three times with the Department of Energy and with the ladies who do the billing, and they couldn't understand our issue, and they couldn't understand the market structure, and the personnel kept changing. I got very frustrated with it. So when the oversight committee last interim met, we testified before them, and the Director Kaplan and I agreed, while we were waiting for their report, that we would wait to see what happened. Well, then a specific committee wasn't established to handle the recommendations from that report. And I've been watching the bills that have been coming out, and there is nothing dealing with our issue. I agree, it's a very discrete issue. It's very small, but it's really important to those of our dealers who are being billed more than once for the same gallon of propane and who have to pay taxes on stuff that are not energy related. So I've written to instructor or the agency director, Mike Kaplan, and asked him if we could have a meeting to look at this issue again. He's newer since I had those first three meetings, and he thinks there is a way that perhaps we can solve this issue. If not, then I need to have legislation. So I wanted to just make you aware that for some of my dealers, they're really frustrated by it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you both very much. Questions or comments for this panel? Please.
Only that I hope that those conversations continue. That seems like something we should be dealing with. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Yes, and I share those thoughts. And certainly, we want to minimize the points of irritation with the public. And so if you're unable to resolve that, let us know.
Well, I hope the greenhouse gas bills that are coming up later, the carbon tax and the carbon tax cap and trade, that they recognize that for propane, the appropriate level is the importer, like DEQ does it. Thank you.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you both very much. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to testify this afternoon on House Bill 5009? Last and final call. Once, twice, three times. Ah, we have another bidder that just jumped in. with that, I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 5009. Subcommittee members, anything for the good of the order?
Thank you.
I'm not seeing anything. Just a reminder that those of you who like to discuss natural resource items, there will be discussions this afternoon, early evening, over adult beverages, I think, downtown. So, and I think some of you have gotten messages about that. If you'd like further details, I don't have them. I left my schedule up in the office, but I can get that for you.
One quick thing that you should know. Tonight, the Ways and Means Committee is hearing from folks from Coos Bay and from Ontario. I think it's Ontario where they're meeting. By Skype, because we weren't able to get to those two places in the road trip to seven other spots. We didn't get all the way to eastern Oregon or southern coast of the state, so we'll be doing that. Unfortunately, that's it between 5 and 7, so I will miss some of those adult beverages.
All right. We will keep you in mind, however.
I'm sure you will.
Anything else to come before us today? Seeing and hearing nothing, we stand adjourned. Thank you all very, very much. Appreciating nothing, we stand adjourned. Thank you all very, very much. Appreciating.